internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. From AboveTopSecret.com, this is ATS. ATS Mix.
Government conspiracies, government cover-ups, you know, political scandals. People are taking the time to research it, look into it.
And that's another area, I think, where we stand out is that we embrace discussion of everything and don't necessarily find one topic.
Themism, if you will, of AboveTopSecret.com. If nothing else, we're getting a whole lot of people interested in the questions.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com starts now.
Well, everybody, welcome again to the ATS Mix. And judging by my voice, I am Dave Rabbit.
And judging from my voice, I would be the once-believed MIA, Johnny Anonymous.
Well, John and Nader, I got to say this. You know, I mean, for the last several weeks now, you know, I've been the one in the remote location, and you've been the one in studio, and now we're playing role reversal. I'm in the ATS Mix studio, and you are where?
I'm actually in a little unknown part of the world, at least as far as I was concerned prior to coming up here, called Trout Lake, Washington. And it is about 90 miles to the, what would it be? I guess it would be kind of towards the east of, or southeast of Portland, Oregon, being the major metropolis that I could use as a landmark. And Trout Lake is a kind of an infamous little town because of a huge mountain called Mount Adams. And the reason why Mount Adams is famous, besides being at an elevation, I believe, of 13,000 point something feet high, it is the place where Kenneth Arnold, back in 1947, while flying from Mount Rainier, if I recall my historical story correct, observed six objects, aerial objects, flying near his small plane, and I'm sorry, I can't recall if it was like a Piper, a Cub, or a Cessna, but a very small plane. He was an aviation pilot, saw these six objects, and when he landed, he told the media about it, and the media asked, well, could you describe it to us? What was it that you saw? And he says, well, you know, it kind of looked like coffee saucers skipping through the sky. They looked like flying saucers. Hence, we now have that term locked into our history, flying saucers.
Wow. I didn't know that's where it came from, John.
Yeah. That's a little FYI. I'm sure a lot of our members and listeners already knew that, though.
Okay. So, you know, you made a post on AboveTopSecret.com some time ago that you were going to go to James Gillian's ranch, and you were going to kind of see what was going on. So, you know, I mean, without giving us too many cool details, because I know we want to do a really neat special show down the way for the members to listen to, but can you give me any teaser of what maybe went on up there? I guess the first question, John, I mean, the name of this show is Johnny Abducted by Aliens? So... I guess since obviously the first question would be, since you're on the phone with me right now at James Gillian's ranch, I assume you were not abducted by aliens.
Yes, contrary to popular belief, Senor Rabbit, I have not been abducted, nor has there been any probing going on.
Oh, see, that was my next question. See, we've been partners for over a year. You know exactly where I'm going to go, because I was going to say, well, did you and a bunch of aliens sit around with some bush beans and do anal probes with each other? And obviously you did not, so.
Well, funny you mentioned the bush beans.
Oh, I love bush beans.
I know you do, and you constantly ask me anytime I go on an investigation, hey, John, did they have any bush beans? Well, guess what, Dave? I'm happy to report that when I walked into the Sanctuary's ranch home, there on the second shelf of James' kitchen was a whole row of, yes, you guessed it, bush beans.
God, I cannot believe that. That is absolutely amazing. Now, do you think, John, it was a result of our interview with James some time ago where, you know, I asked him, you know, if they had campfires and stuff and if they did any reenactments of Blazing Saddles, and he kind of chuckled. You know, I don't know if he even heard of bush beans at that time, you know?
Well, you know, the investigation is still in its preliminary part. So I'm unable to truly answer that question, but I can tell you I will dive immediately into that to find out what's going on, to see if maybe something stinks in the area of Bush.
Yeah, and that's no pun either. Well, you know, you've been gone really kind of a long time on this little epic journey, John. I mean, what is it now? 7 to 10 days, I think, somewhere around that neighborhood.
Let's see here. We arrived here August the 12th, but I left on the, what would have been? I think I left August the 9th.
Yeah, I think the last time we talked was the Bon Voyage phone call.
Right.
And I was still in Corpus, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. And it took me a while. I did drive up here because I did not want to trust not only the flight up to Portland, but much less have TSA take away some of my equipment. You can't bring that in here. So,
oh, yeah, right.
I drove it up.
Well, you know, when we did a interview some time ago, I guess when we did the Bay Area thing, we had talked to several guests and talked about any things that happened along the road. I was just curious, you know, it was like a couple of days drive time for you. So did anything exciting or anything interesting happen along the roadside?
Not really interesting, although I did have a camera that I had poised on the dashboard aimed kind of in front of me. Just in the who knows department, might catch something. I did not catch anything. But I do have to say this, when I did come close to Mount Shasta, which is an extremely large mountain in California.
Now, is that where they named the drink from, John?
It could be.
Shasta root beer? Shasta, yeah. You know, the Shasta orange? Or is it Shasta or Shasta?
It's Shasta, S-H-A-S-T-A.
Okay, so it's not shaft as in shaft-ta. Okay, got it. Okay.
Correct. The, you know, there's a lot of conjecture going on of whether or not there is anything to the global warming thing. Well, I've been coming up around Shasta area, well, not every year, but I'll say every other year, at least passing by, because I have some mining claims a little further past Shasta on the Klamath River. And so I constantly see Shasta, and it's huge. We're talking, this is a huge mountain. This is the first year I've noticed just a very, very small patch of ice or snow on the mountain. Normally, it's even during the summertime, especially in August, that it would still have snow and, or ice. And I did not see that except for maybe a small 150 to 200 foot patch on there. So that kind of disturbed me.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well,
the other thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I can just add the other thing that I found kind of ironic. Was that as soon as I was pulling out of Shasta, in fact, I had to snap a photograph of this, as I was getting ready to turn back onto the freeway, there is a road sign there that said that if you took a right, you'd get to Weed.
Well, I bet that was a busy highway.
Yes, I was surprised to not see a whole lot of hippies, hitchhiking their way to Weed.
Yeah. Hey, dude!
So, of course, I had to pull over at the Weed Airport.
Oh, of course.
Which is a very small runway. I think there was like one plane parked there.
Right.
And then I had one gentleman pull up next to me. He wanted to know what I was doing there. And he noticed that I had the ATS signs all pasted over the SUV. It says ATS AboveTopSecret.com investigation team. And
I love that.
Really nice eye candy. In fact, it'd be interesting to find out if any of our listeners or members, in fact, you could either U2US or send an email to let us know if you may have had us pass you or you passed us on the road up to the SATFA sanctuary.
Wow. Now, speaking about on the road, John, I noticed in the ATS homepage, the AboveTopSecret.com homepage, that one of the members, I believe his name is Dimensional Detective, actually was up there in this pre-investigative time area and got a chance to meet you.
That is absolutely correct. In fact, I got a chance to meet his whole family. He had brought his whole family up here. It's funny, you know, I know that you have the same problem, but we have stalkers, Dave.
We have stalkers. Oh, you know, we could do a whole show just on the stalkers that we have, John.
It's true. And so here I am. I'm preparing my equipment to get ready for hopefully some daylight captures using some specialized infrared equipment.
And you're in research mode, which, can I tell everybody what your research mode is?
Well, please.
Okay. Now, I'm going to keep it FCC compliant.
Sure.
Now, there's two different Johnnies.
Yes.
There is the Johnny, the fun-loving Johnny that we all know and love. And yes. Then there's the Johnny that is like the most frigid wife from hell that you've been nagging for the last 3 hours to have some kind of sexual relationship with.
Yes.
And she turns around and beats the living crap out of you because she does not want to be disturbed. Now, this is Johnny's research mode. When Johnny goes into research mode, even his beloved partner of over a year could not get in because he is in research mode. So, yeah, I can see this already, John. I can see Dimensional Detective coming up and tapping you on your shoulder as you're trying to set up your thousands of dollars worth of equipment. Yeah. Scared him, huh?
It is. Actually, it's not as scary as it sounds. Maybe it's the place up here. I don't know. But
right.
I've been fairly accommodating to everybody, even though I've been in research mode. Dimensional Detective did come up, and this gentleman walked up behind me while I was talking. I think I was talking to one of the producers of a TV show that came up here to shoot James Place. And he goes, "Are you Johnny Anonymous?" And instinctively, I went into guarded mode and said, "Why, no, I'm not." And he goes, "Oh, I'm sorry. Are you sure?" And I go, "No, I'm Johnny. And he goes, "I'm Dimensional Detective." And I go, "Oh, hey, dude." And so then everything was all cool and everything because I found out, of course, he wasn't a stalker. And
yeah.
So I got to meet his whole family and everything, and we took an exchange photograph.
Right.
Super nice guy, super nice family. And so here's big shout-outs to you, Dimensional Detective. It was excellent meeting you, dude.
Well, listen, I maybe have him confused with another one. Is he the one that has the midget wife?
Yes, you are confused.
Okay.
He does not have a midget wife.
Okay, it must be a different member that I'm thinking of. Well, listen, John, I mean, you're up there in pre-research mode, and there's so many things that we'd love to talk about that we can't because we've been threatened within an inch of our life. But
And that Non-Disclosure Act.
And the Non-Disclosure Act, that's right, yeah. I mean, we've got all kinds of things. But can we at least say, John, that in the next few weeks after this show that – it's going to be worth the wait to hear what the ATS team has stumbled across, I guess would be the better way to say it.
Well, as in any investigation, we are still obviously analyzing what we've shot. Now,
right.
I have to preface that by saying I haven't been able to analyze a lot since I've been up here because
right.
I've been taking all the cameras around and reloading them with tape. Which, by the way, I recall in one of the posts that some member added, which was, make sure Johnny brings up lots of tape
yeah.
and tripods
yeah.
so we don't have shaky footage.
Right.
Well, I can assure our listeners and members both that I was successful in both realms. In fact, so much so, since I was planning actually to leave last Thursday,
right.
and now I've stayed up almost another week, it is another week from that period I was going to leave, I've had to go out and buy more tape. So we currently are up to 40 recorded two-hour tapes.
My Lord. 80 hours.
That's a lot of hours.
Yeah, 80 hours, and you're not even through yet. You still got a few more days as of this recording that you're going to be there, right?
That is absolutely correct, sir.
Wow.
And we also have backed that up with audio recordings. We wanted to have some corroboration between the video and audio, which is something new that we decided to try to implement here. You know, could it be in case who knows? And there is no manual in this type of investigation.
Exactly.
So we're kind of doing some out of the box. Thinking here on what we might be able to do to further corroborate anything we may or might not have captured. Could it have been a device failure? Could it have been a glitch? So if
right.
we have corroborating data or video or audio from another source, well, that obviously will lean more towards a more credible bit of data being gathered.
Right. And, of course, like any good investigative reporting or whatever, I mean, despite visual what's the word I'm looking for? Besides the visual foray of things that you have up there that you're watching, you know, you got to have people to corroborate whatever the hell that word is. You know what you have captured. So yeah, there's still you still got a ways to go before we're ready to sit there and knock people's socks off or anything, right?
Sure. And so I'm sure this is going to come to many of our members who are maybe, impatient, hoping to have that data released right away.
Right, right.
We still are obviously just at the chipping off the iceberg because we haven't even really been able to sit down and look at anything because we've constantly been running around and changing the tapes in the various cameras. And while I've been up here, I've also had the wonderful opportunity to interview quite a few people.
Yeah, while we're on that, I mean, there's a couple of things that we can discuss, obviously.
Sure.
One that really knocked my socks off is Pope John Paul, whatever the hell his name is, Pope Benedict's former advisor kind of thing guy.
Yeah, this was kind of wild for me. There is a gentleman that used to be a part of a very exclusive group who was one of the few to be an advisor for, and I believe it was about 7 years, for the Pope. And, in fact, at the time when he was on this advising committee, our current Pope was also a part of the Pope. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, John.
Sorry, I had a beep come through. I didn't know what that was. Maybe it's the CIA listening.
It may be, yeah.
Yeah. Hello?
I'm sure they have call waiting there, John, so no big deal.
Right. Maybe that's what it is.
That's it.
See, I've been so out of touch with civilization, I don't know what's going on anymore.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Anyway, the advisor was also in partnership and leagues with our current Pope. So while they were doing their advising to the last pope, which I believe was Pope John Paul.
Right.
Our current pope was a member of his group in the advisory committee to Pope John Paul. So we're not talking about like some peon that's way down on the totem pole.
Right.
You know, you don't get to this type of classification or department or area without really knowing your stuff. He is a former theologian and president of a university. We're talking, this guy had basically the equivalent of top secret clearance at the Vatican.
Wow.
And his name, since I didn't mention it, is Dr. Michal Ledwith.
Michal what?
Dr. Michal Ledwith.
Ledwith?
I believe it's L-E-D-W-I-T-H.
Oh, okay.
And fascinating gentleman. I got a chance to interview him. In fact, what was supposed to be just a 20-minute segment turned out to be about, close to an hour and a half.
Well, you know, I tell you what's funny, because I was talking to the Springinator today about his knee. You know,
did I tell you about
the Springinator? Yeah, he hurt his knee and he was having all kinds of problems with it. And he finds out today that in some extracurricular activities that he was involved in, that he actually pulled. I'm not a medical doctor, John, as you well know.
Sure.
We played doctor before, but I'm not qualified.
Yes.
We're just teasing, folks. It's a joke. Anyway, that something he pulls something else from his knee or whatever, and now they're going to have to go back in and do some more surgery to his knee, man. I mean, he was really he was really bummed out. He was really bummed out.
You know what we need to do? We need to have our listeners and members send some good positive thoughts and positive reinforcements.
I have no idea why I threw the Springinator in here in the conversation, John, because, you know, I turned 60 just a couple of days ago.
Yes.
And
happy belated birthday. That's
okay. I knew you were busy, and I knew you'd bake me a cake if you had been in town. But here's the deal, John. I mean, I don't know specifically why I brought the Springinator up, other than the fact that I know that he was very concerned, about you, because I mean, really, he called me. He says, was Johnny abducted by aliens? And I said, I don't know, because obviously he must have been monitoring the charges on the ATS Mix credit card, John, is the only thing I can figure.
Right.
And
I can say that he should be actually fairly happy. Maybe he was concerned because there weren't any charges being made on the ATS credit card, because I'm telling you, I'm in a rural area, and I don't even know if they accept credit cards in Trout Lake.
Well, Trout Lake, that sounds so funny. Are there any trout there?
One would lean to believe such, yes.
Or is it just strictly catfish? I mean, it's a couple of guys, three sheets to the wind. They're sitting around going, hey, let's name this lake. Well, it's full of trout. No, let's name it Catfish Lake, and then they decided the old Catfish Lake would have been kind of a misnomer.
Sure.
Anyway,
sure.
I mean, so here's the thing, so Springer was really concerned about you, and, he called me up, and obviously you've been out of pocket because you're up in an area that your cell phone, your ATS Mix cell phone, doesn't work. So,
right.
I mean, thank God that we were able to, camel up, this connection for you to, to get attached to, John.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate all the concerns. And yes, you are correct about the financial thing. If I could just beseech our listeners and members both, I don't believe I've ever done this, but I think I'm very close to having to say, please send money.
Yeah, there's some alien hookers that John wants to hook up with. And they don't take. Yeah,
I just want to be able to buy more videotape.
Yeah, they don't. And they don't take credit cards. Isn't that right? Isn't that what you told me, John, off air?
Yes. And speaking of videotape, I have to go approximately 50 miles into a metropolis from Trout Lake to where civilization is at. That's how remote I am.
Wow, you're kidding. I mean, obviously there's roads there because you got up there, all right. But
I mean,
how far do you have to drive before you actually get into any kind of civilized area, John?
I believe I said maybe about 50 miles. I'm probably embellishing that a little bit, but it sure seems like 50 miles by the. It's a real windy road up here since we're heading up the mountains,
right,
off of the main highway. I believe probably the next largest town that I was in was by the Hood River. I think it was the Hood River. And it's called, I believe, Hood. I believe that's what
the Hood River?
Hood.
Yeah.
So it's funny because these people around here, I will say this. They do have a Walmart, so, that kind of gives you an idea.
Well, good. Then they've got some illegal aliens there, and you're fine then, John.
Absolutely. But everybody around here says, oh, God, we have to go get some supplies in the Hood.
Oh, so you're thinking it's going to be gangbangers and cars that hop up and down.
I'm used to down in L.A. and San Francisco Bay Area. I'm going to be, oh, my God, do I have to learn some new gang sign?
Besides the middle finger one, that's the only one I know how to do. I, with arthritis in my hands, I can't really do all those little crazy signs.
Is
John.
That a universal gang sign?
Yeah, that's one that you give and run.
Yes.
Well, listen, I mean, before, okay, so we got sidetracked from the Pope's designated go-to guy.
Right.
So without, I mean, I don't want to get into stuff because we're going to, it's going to be a show to itself and whatever, or maybe a two-part show like we've done on several guests because you had such a lengthy interview with this gentleman. But,
well,
I mean...
Let me interrupt you right here. I think we've got enough stuff here that we could probably stretch this thing out for at least the next three, maybe even four shows.
With this one guy, really?
You're
talking about just your total amount of data that you're collecting and stuff.
This is not going to be something we'll be able to cover in one or two shows.
Oh, obviously not.
And
that's exciting.
We have our empirical data analyzed, and of course,
right.
I'm only assuming that will be going to some of the best, and so I'm sure that will probably include like a David Biedney and Jeff Ritzman
who
analyze this data.
Right.
Because obviously we need to have as many eyes on this as possible.
Exactly.
I have to try to remain as neutral and unbiased as possible, regardless of whether I think I may or may not have seen something or captured something. We have to let a neutral party, another neutral party, take a look at it and give us their spin, their take on whatever it is or whatever it isn't. You know, I mean, I may think that I captured a bird, you know,
right,
and then somebody else with much better clarity and software equipment and graphics applications might be able to zoom in on it and go, no, Johnny, it was a bat or a bug or,
right,
or hopefully, who knows, maybe a unidentified aerial phenomena,
so, right,
which, of course, is part of the reason why we're up here in the first place.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, and John, because you've been so far out of it, you know, and actually, you're kind of...
What do you mean by that?
Well, I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, out of it as far as being away from, you know, phone and internet and all the other stuff.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe that I've had no internet connection, so, or phone connection, so I don't even know what's going on the website. What's been happening at ATS while I've been gone?
Oh, it's a buttload of stuff, John. I mean, one of the ones that I think is most intriguing, and it's only because we had done a show with a guest talking about Bigfoot. There was this huge thing that happened recently, just this past week, about supposedly a true find locked in ice of a Bigfoot creature. Now, and I'm going to kind of read a little bit from an article just so it'll kind of give you a little bit about it. It says, the name of the article is, "So It Really Was a Rubber Suit After All." I mean, you know.
Now, is this from one of our members that posted this?
Yes, but this is from the news article from FoxNews.com, and you know how trustworthy those guys are.
Oh, we love
Fox News. Those guys are great. Last week's excitement over a supposed Bigfoot body, which culminated Friday in a circus-like press conference in Palo Alto, California, collapsed like a wet souffle in a souffle also Sunday, as an independent investigator determined it was all fake. Now, this is a thing that I really love. Searching for Bigfoot.com owner Tom Biscardi, he sounds Italian when I say that, doesn't he, had paid an undisclosed sum, and the internet rumors put it somewhere around $50,000.
Oh, my God.
To Georgia residents Matthew Whitten and Rick Dyer for their frozen corpse and the privilege of trotting them, but not the body, out in front of the cameras. And then it goes on and tells, it's kind of a long thing, but basically the two guys, after they get their money and cash the check, you know, they're out of there, you know. And I guess it was on Fox, our local affiliate here in Dallas, Channel 4, and they had a thing, last night, the night before, and it showed the video of this this Bigfoot creature, and it's still got, you know, has been encased in ice, and now it's kind of melted down, John. And and here's a creature, and they had like animal body parts thrown into the suit, you know,
sure,
to where when it would start, you know there'd be like a, you know, bladder hanging out from you know, whatever, some kind of creature that they killed and stuffed this thing with. But you know what I can't figure out, John, is they had to take this son of a gun somewhere to get frozen into a block of ice to make it legitimate, right?
Right.
So where the hell did they go? You know, 7-Eleven said,
"Mind,
you know,
if I pack this in your ice chest?"
Yeah, either that or, but it was, obviously it looks like it was in a cube of ice. Maybe they went to an ice house or they had some friend to do it. You know, it was kind of crazy stuff. So, I mean, that was one of the things that you missed while you were up there doing your thing. And of course you heard what happened, between Russia and Georgia, right?
Well, I heard there were some grumblings going on Somebody attacked somebody?
Yeah, well, supposedly, and here again, you know, it depends on which news source you read, but supposedly Georgia had some kind of conflict with some troops or whatever, and then Russia got ticked off, and they said, well, we're going to come down and check it out. And then they came down, and then, of course, you know, the Bushinator decides that he's going to play spiritual leader and, right. You know, it throws the gauntlet down, you know, and says, well, you can't take another foot, no further, you know. And then, of course, the Russians start hunching up. You know, it's just a typical scenario. You know, two people can't play nice with each other. And, of course, everybody wants to jump in and act like they're the ones that, you know, brought everything to certainty, if you will, you know. And, yeah, I mean, okay. You know, well, I mean, you know, well, it's the same kind of stuff that we have with Israel and Palestine, you know. I mean, right. You know, all the people that, you know, Jimmy Carter and all the rest of them that came and did all these things, these wonderful things, and, you know, they worked out. I mean, the people are still hate each other, and they're still, you know, trying to kill each other, so... It's kind of one of those deals. But I tell you, there was a kind of an interesting thing that I saw, something about, where is that thing? Is my grandfather a time traveler or a joker? Now, this is pretty funny because there are like 400 and something replies, 53 flags. No, a buttload of stars. And this is by ATS member Ted Mundy. And it says, instead of Ted Mundy, it's Ted Mump. Our Teg Monday, at beautiful Green Valley Raceway. No, that's Friday. Sorry. All right. Is my grandfather a time traveler or a joker? ? A few days ago, my grandfather died of a heart attack. Okay, sad. Yeah, quite mundane, in fact. But what we left behind is incredibly odd. What he left behind, rather. He left behind a key to an old small chest, which he gave to my family during the days before he died in the hospital. A chest, as he said, was very important. He never said what, and I figured it was a ring or money or some antique. Then my mother said I could keep it, and that probably wasn't important. When I opened it up, John, it says it was a book. When I first read it, I thought it was a prank. My grandfather did a few pranks in his day, so I assumed it was just one of these ways. After he's dead, he's going to sit there and you know, do all this stuff and whatever, you know. He figured something, it was from some kind of space race, and then he opened it up and started explaining theories about time travel and how to do it and all this other stuff. And he's taken pictures, John, of his grandfather's manuscript kind of thing. And, I mean, right. It's really interesting. Now, obviously, it's one of those things where anybody could have done this. Anybody could have written it, you know. And, I mean, there's a few members that sit there and go, oh, you know, boy, this is kind of neat. And then you got a few that say, it's fake. No government-issued manual to teach people how to do time travel would misspell personnel. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a typical pile-on, you know, and I mean, there's some nice pile-ons involved and some, you know, ones that are kind of sympathetic to this guy because, I mean, here again, his grandfather died. He's sitting there trying to share stuff with a membership. But, you know, I mean, like anything else on AboveTopSecret.com, John, you know, if you don't want scrutiny, you're coming to the wrong website, you know?
Sure.
I mean, you're coming to the wrong website. I mean, and this gets back to kind of what your secret mission is with going on and whatever. You know, when everything is finally put up and everybody's allowed to enjoy the experiences that you have experienced, it will not be because it wasn't scrutinized, as you say, by David Bidney and some other people and some professionals that's all they do is they debunk things. Even though, you know, things may have been seen personally or whatever, you know, we still, even as a ATS investigative team, want to be sure that things are, collaborated and looked at, you know, to where there's none of this thing, wow, I can't, you know, and you know it's going to come, John. You know it's going to come.
Sure.
I don't care how many people validate the research effort for AboveTopSecret.com. There's got to be people say, oh, you know, these guys know how to do this and do that, you know.
Exactly. In fact, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that because, you know, one of the things as an investigator, and I mentioned this briefly, is that we will attempt to duplicate, if we can, whatever the scenario is that is seen, witnessed, captured, whatever
right.
the case may be. And we have been doing that intensively in a number of certain scenarios that seem to have been presented here. And One of the things, and I'm sure this is everybody knows that I'm not necessarily a big fan of orbs. You know, in the past I've been able to debunk a number of orb photographs by throwing a flour or shooting water moisture and stuff like that. And so as an investigator, you have to try to rule out everything that it possibly might be. And when you are left with nothing else, then regardless of how wild or outrageous it may appear, at least you might be a little closer to the truth.
Yeah, right, exactly, you know. And, you know, I mean, when it really gets down to it, John, I mean, you know, people don't know you like I know you. And, I mean, I know you only a little bit over a year. And, I mean, you're best friends in the world, and we know one of them that we won't mention. But, you know, I mean, that know you. I mean, you know, I know enough about you to know that, you know, you go in from, excuse me for using his name, but you could very easily be the skeptic overlord, because if anybody is a skeptic about things, you are, because you so want to believe in all the great things that I believe in personally and have seen personally. But it's one thing to see things personally, and it's another thing to sit there and provide that data for other people to scrutinize, you know. But
sure. Somebody once asked me, well, what are you, Johnny? Are you a skeptic? Are you a debunker? Or are you a believer? And I kind of lean towards all three. Yeah, I'm a skeptic. I will attempt to debunk. And then if those two don't fill the realm that I'm looking at, well, then I may... big, heavy, may lean towards believing that whatever it is that I have witnessed might be something.
Right.
But the first two, obviously, say, you know, I mean, holy mackerel, what's the tagline of the website we work for?
Deny ignorance, babe. Yeah, so, deny ignorance.
So I know that before we present anything to our fans, our members, our listeners, we better have a very strong grip on it and be able to say, yes, without a doubt it's this, or without a doubt it's that. Or maybe if we are inconclusive, we can honestly say, I'm sorry, the data is inconclusive, but here it is, and we present it as such.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the members that know and love us, and even the few that hate us, that still listen to the shows just because they love sending those U2Us. And by the way, anybody that has negative comments, please send those U2Us to Johnny at ATSMix.com. We would really appreciate any of those comments. But no, seriously, John, I mean, you know, you and I mean, we have a certain take on what we do when we interview guests and whatever. And they should know that you take those same analytical, underline the first four letters, anal.
Thank you. Finally come around.
Thank you. But you know, seriously, I mean, there's the difference between you and I is night and day. I mean, we're brothers. We love each other. We're partners. We're friends. But I mean, the bottom line of the thing basically is, when you sit there and you when you go into your investigative mode, you know, you're in the same investigative mode that, you know, that you would be in if it wasn't an ATS assignment. And that's and that's what people need to know. You've been an amateur ufologist for 25 years, and the only reason you use the word amateur is not because of equipment, not because of enthusiasm, and not because of desire, but you use the word amateur, I think, what's the word, John? Not being conceited, graciously, that's not the word. You use that word, non-egotistical, thank you. I was thanking myself because I thought of it before you did, John. You say that non-egotistically, even though I think you're an expert, even though you may not work for an agency or whatever. I mean, my Lord, I mean, just the things I've learned from you in the last year are just absolutely amazing, which makes you an expert in my estimation. But I think what you're telling people basically when you say you're an amateur ufologist, you know, you don't get a paycheck from a ufology organization. You don't get a paycheck from a SETI or some kind of organization that deals strictly or MUFON or whatever. And I think that isn't that the reason mainly, John, that you sit there and say that you're an amateur because you don't directly work for these people? It's not because of desire. I know that for a fact.
Well, you're correct. I do have this desire. I have this personal quest to find out how these things might be interconnected and what could these things possibly be, and I try to document them all. But in my case, I call myself an amateur because there are so many others that are professionals or may have had the skills because of either who knows, military training or what, they might be better suited in the observant department or in the analyzing department. All I've tried to do is capture, document, and try to do my own bit of debunking. And when that's through, then I pass it along to eyes that hopefully are much better than mine. There is no real manual, as I said before, in what we attempt to do here. So I feel that I'm an amateur because I've only been able to take it to a certain stage without proper, here again, for the lack of a better term, military training, because I'm sure there are some that are in the military or in the government that have been trained to be able to see these things and be able to say, oh, yes, that is this or
right,
that is that. And I can't do that and fairly say for certain that it is this or that.
Right, right, right. Well, you know, I know you well enough to know that, you know, when you go up, you're not going to do anything half-ass. You're going to, it's going to be first class or you're not going to do it. And
it's definitely 110% on my part.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah. And the equipment, you know, I mean, most people have not seen the equipment. I think you only posted it in Cosmic, did you, or did you post it in the regular?
I may have a while back posted some of the
equipment.
As a matter of fact, I did post a few of my cameras that I use out in the field. Yes, I did.
Yeah, and I think it wasn't that. And I think you posted that under the UFO area, if I'm not mistaken,
yeah,
John.
I think the thing was called "I'm Off to James Gilliland's Sanctuary."
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, but I mean, anybody can sit there and just take one look at the equipment that you have there, and obviously, you know, I was blown away. I mean, I know the amount of audio equipment that you had because of the Bay Area UFO Expo that we did last year. And is coming up again in September, is it not, John?
I believe it's like in the 21st or 22nd of September, the Bay Area UFO Expo, which is one of the largest ones, will be happening in San Jose, California. And from what I understand, are we not still planning on all being there?
As far as the last I heard, we are, you know. And if anybody would like to know anything about it, they can find out about the upcoming Bay Area UFO Expo at the Bay Area UFO Expo.com website. That's the Bay Area UFO Expo. Be sure and put expo in there, .com. And the website tells about all the different things and the speakers that are going to be there and whatever. And they've got one or two of the same people that they had last year, John, I noticed. But they have a lot of new people that I haven't a clue who they are, you know.
Yeah, it should be a fun romp for anybody that'll be able to show up. And so if you do live in California or plan on having a vacation or something, if you can come by and join us, Dave and I, and hopefully we'll be able to get Springer to show up also, we'll get a chance to stop by and say howdy.
Yeah, and not only show up, but bring his credit card.
Yeah,
in fact,
once again, please send money.
Yeah, well, actually, John, I just pulled it up. That shows you how easy it is to go to the Bay Area UFO Expo.com, and it has it's September 27th and 28th. Yeah, and I just want to read some of the people, John, that are going to be there. Oh, man, there's some really good ones, including one of your personal friends. The first one they have on the list is David Icke.
Or could be pronounced Icky, depending on how well you like it.
Yeah, David Icky Twerp. Steve Canada. I think he's from Canada, is everything. Robert O'Dean, Preston Dennett, Jose, yes?
Did you say Robert or Roger Odine?
Robert Odine.
Yes. Yes, I'm really looking forward to hearing him speak.
Okay, Preston Dennett, Jose Escamilla. I think he's one of our UFO guys, is he not?
I think he is probably best well-known to our members and listeners for being the gentleman who supposedly captured something of a creature that he calls a rod.
Oh, okay. I love that. Okay, and then Paolo Harris.
Paola Harris, yes.
Yeah, Paolo. Okay, well, good. Is that a woman or a man?
That it would be a female, yes.
Oh, nice. Okay, and then someone that you've met and we've interviewed and I'm absolutely looking forward to is George Knapp.
Absolutely.
Our old bud, Dr. Roger Lear, is going to be there.
Yes.
Melinda Leslie. Now, she's got to be a chick.
Yes.
Brett Luter.
Yes.
Dean Martin. I thought he was dead.
What?
Oh, it's Dia. Dia Martin, plus a Dean.
Back from the dead.
Yeah, and he's Dean Martin's actually, I think, going to speak to us through a clairvoyant. I'm not sure. Jamie Mawson, Mausson.
No, I believe that would be Jaime Mausson.
Whatever. Yeah. You say Jaime, I say Jamie. Right. Sean David Morton, that was an easy one. I knew that one. Robert Perala.
Yes.
Nancy Redstar.
Yes.
Now, I think she is Susie Bluestar's cousin, is she not?
I'm unable to answer that question at this time.
Okay, now here's another one. This is worth going automatically, and that is our old bud and Springer's old pal, Clifford Stone's going to be there.
Oh, yes.
Man, is that going to be a great little foray.
In fact, a lot of our listeners and members that don't recall, Team ATS made a special Roswell trip.
Right.
In Roswell, New Mexico, to go visit Sergeant Clifford Stone. And they were able to obtain, via that interesting little trip that they took, access to his fabulous wealth of Freedom of Information Act documents.
Right. And then, of course, Whitley Strieber?
Yes. Yes, he was infamous for... not only being abducted, but having numerous contact with supposed aliens. And I believe they even made a movie about his adventures with different species.
Right, right.
Whitley will be a very interesting speaker also to listen to.
Right. And then our old friend Stuart Swerdlow is going to be there.
Oh, yes.
And then your good friend that I had the tremendous opportunity to talk to, Ruben Uriati, is going to be there.
Yes.
And then another recyclable guest that we had a chance to meet last year. And I think you actually, when you went to the MUFON, got a chance to talk to him, and that's Jordan Maxwell.
Oh, absolutely. An Illuminati and New World Order specialist.
Right.
Yes.
And then our old bud, our old competition, our old competitor, George Norrie, of course, is going to be there.
Yep. He's great.
Yeah, I love George. And of course, he is the infamous host of the Coast to Coast show, coming live out of California on a nightly basis. And
yes.
And I'm looking forward to seeing George again. You know, George and I kind of admired each other from afar at the UFO.
Is that right?
Yeah, at the UFO Bay Area Expo. Yeah, I went up and, you know, of course, I don't know where he knew me from or whatever. And I went up and said, hi, George, I'm Dave Rabbit. So, of course. Dave Rabbit, of course, I know who you are, you know, and exchange some pleasure. He's a nice guy. He's a nice guy. I like George. So that's what's coming up, and that's September 27th to 28th. It's going to be at the Marriott Hotel in Santa Clara, California. It's the 10th annual Bay Area UFO Expo, and it's going to have all those magnificent guests, and assuming that there's still money left from this particular ATS investigation, Johnny and I will be there with bells on our toes and rings in our nose, or I think that's a tattoo parlor. I'm not really sure. So that's going to be kind of fun. So, you know, I guess, John, I mean, really, we've pretty much covered the gamut here of the things that are happening and what you're doing now, whatever. You know, I can't tell you, my friend, how excited I am for the opportunity that you've had to get to do this, because I know this is an area that's your holy grail, and boy, when you sit there and call me and say, well, I'm going to stay a few more days. You know, I was really excited because, you know, you're like a kid in a candy store, Christmas morning, whatever explanation you want to give. But you're, you know, I know that this is your cup of tea and you are just, your adrenaline level's going like off the charts, is it not?
Absolutely, my friend. In fact, I would just like to give some quick shout outs here. James Gilliland has been a very warm and gracious host. We have breakfast, lunch, dinner together, and I kind of had some preconceived ideas before I came up here, but I'm happy to report that he's just a real guy. He's down to earth, and you'll be happy to hear this. He does in person look like Grizzly Adams.
Well, see, now that was the question that was really, I've been dying to ask you, John, because that was one of the things we asked him when we did that, when he did his interview several months ago, was it, you know, if he ever got mistaken for Grizzly Adams. And so he does kind of resemble him then, huh?
Yes, and amazingly, he lives 13 miles away from Mount Adams. So what a coinkadink.
That is an amazing coinkadink. Well, you got any last-minute things you want to throw in, John, before...
Oh, yes, if I could, send money quickly.
yeah. And they can... I think they could probably PayPal... Do you have a PayPal account, John?
No, but I have a poster board that I hold up on the street corner for what few cars drive by that says, "We'll search for UFOs for money."
I'm not, you know, it wouldn't surprise me, John, that you weren't already out there with a little poster board. Well, you know, I tell you, I John, first off, before I let you go, I can't thank you enough for passing up a lunch with the Pope's assistant and James and a few other people that we cannot disclose who are there. You passed up a lunch. They said, "Hey, let's go to lunch." You said, "Nah, we got a show to do." And, you know, boy, talk about dedication, John. I know that was a real sacrifice for you, my brother.
Well, let me just reciprocate that by saying, my friend, that although I've been out of civilization's way for the past couple of weeks, I've really been jonesing to be able to do my shows with you, partner, and I appreciate you taking hold of the reins for this show.
Yeah, well, you know, I that was just a very minor thing to do, John, because, I mean, you know, you've really covered my buttocks the last 4 weeks while I've been in Corpus Christi and may or may not be heading down to depending on what happens at El Rabbit Ranch.
Hey, speaking of El Rabbit Ranch, I understand that you have a young one that's having a birthday today.
Roger Rabbit, my son. Roger turned 21 today, so
congratulations to Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, happy birthday to Roger. But yeah, we're going to go out and do the typical rabbit deal where we go out and just throw some carrots on a plate and let everybody munch around, you know.
And do you leave a trail of pellets?
Yeah, and we have a topless rabbit that's going to be there. It's going to be lots of fun. You know, I, of course, John, I was in Saigon not long ago, and we did a show when I was in Saigon, my old home land, if you will. And, you know, I had the Bambinator with me, and, you know,
yes,
pushing 60, you know, she wasn't really that swift, you know. I mean, like, you know, they were hanging down to the knees, if you know what I mean. I'm not talking about her eyelids either, folks. And so, you know, I thought about, you know, maybe flying the Bambinator in for Roger's birthday get-together, you know, have her come out of the cake, you know, like, it, you know, flashback to the 70s, you know. But I figured that might be kind of a scary deal. So we're not going to do that, John.
There would be fur all over the ice.
There would be a lot of fur. There would be fur flying everywhere. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that kind of wraps up show 94, John. God, can you believe it? 94? Oh, my Lord.
I know. You know what? I'm thinking we're going to have to really start thinking about our 100th show.
Yep.
And put together something real special for all our listeners and members.
Yeah, and I mean, and trust me, with all the things that end up on the cutting room floor before we put up shows,
It will be a whole lot of bleeping in those.
Oh, sure. Man. If they thought the 2007 outtakes show was funny, who knows? I mean, we may do in fact, you know, some member even said, John, about maybe even doing a video or something for the 100th show.
Now, wouldn't that be great? In fact, I know that we've been tossing around this idea. I don't know if we'll be able to make the technology possible or not, but I think it would be wonderful if sometime in the future we would be able to do a video streaming show so that the members could actually be able to watch you and I in action. Now, what we would be in action doing, who knows?
Yeah, we may not want to tease them too much, John. You know, we might put up the old pornometer horns on some of these folks, you know what I'm saying?
You could be wearing a rabbit costume, and I could be just kind
Wally of Coyote. No, wait, that was a Roadrunner, wasn't it? It wasn't a rabbit.
It was
Roadrunner. Well, I knew it had something with an R. I wasn't sure.
I mean, what kind of costume would an anonymous person wear, you know?
I guess it would be blank, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so it'll be an empty chair in front of a microphone.
I love
that. Actually might be kind of funny.
Yeah, we'll just do it. We'll just do your voice.
Just be a
chair and a, yeah, that's, and that, and everybody wanted to see what Johnny's picture really looks like. That's Johnny. All right, well, I guess that's all the banter we can do. So on behalf of myself here in the ATS Mix studio, which is Dave Rabbit, and my partner out there in an undisclosed area at James Gillian's Ranch, and future fun things coming about that. I would be Dave.
And I would be Johnny.
And I would be the end of the show.
Thanks for joining us.
On the ATS Mix. I love that. Oh, we have to pull little fingers. I don't know if we can do it from this distance.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.AboveTopSecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat.